It's okay. Ken. It's fine. Yeah. No. Okay. Ken, thank you very much. All right. Good morning. So, as usual, I start a few minutes early. So, we'll wait for the rest to come to start today's session. But in the meantime, if anyone, especially anyone who attended the previous session, if you have any questions or comments, you're most welcome to raise it. Usually my karma will continue, but anyway, I give people a chance for audience contribution. And any questions or comments? Those of you who have attended the previous session, yeah. Yes. Oh, okay. Yes. You find that helpful? Okay, that's good. Excellent. Yes. Yeah. Because my idea in this series is, you know, maybe I thought sometime to share some ideas behind how we go about doing visualization and maybe how to make it more effective for us. Yeah. So to be good. Yeah. Any other questions? Yes. Yeah. You. I told you last week, right, to sit on a chair. Yes. Yes. The only thing about that is, do you have knee surgery, is it? Yeah, okay. So, only when you meditate, then you sit like this. Otherwise, you can sit in a more relaxed way. Or also, you can put some cushions under your knee to give some support to it. Yeah. You can put on either side. No, then you don't keep pulling on the muscles. So, yeah, that's okay. I think the most important thing about posture is that you feel very stable in the posture, and you don't feel that you need to like keep tensing up your muscles, no, because the tension actually interferes with your meditation. No, and also, if you start feeling pain, then the pain also becomes a bit of a hindrance. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Why would you be jerking? Do you normally have it? No. Okay. So you only have it when you meditate. Yeah. Well, there is a phenomenon in meditation. Sometimes we call it involuntary movement. Like you just suddenly, you just move. You know, certain parts of your body will move. There are different forms of it. And if it is that has to do with, I think that has to do with like release of tension. Like usually you sort of a bit tight in certain area. Then as you settle into your meditation, then sometimes the body feels more and more comfortable, and then it just automatically release. But because you have been so tight for so long, the release can come across as like a jerk like that, yeah. So if it's like that, then there's nothing to worry about. Yeah. Because actually, as we get more familiar and you do it more often, you may find that it starts to change the habits of the body. And when those tensions are no longer there, then the jerking movement that come from the release of tension also will disappear because there's no more tension. How to filter out? You imagine underneath you is like a filter paper, like coffee, you know. You make coffee, right? Then you have this filter paper. You pour, right? Then all the... So then the solid will stay behind, the good, you know. Then the liquid will filter through filter. So in the same way, you feel that at the bottom of your body, the whole bottom part is like a filter paper. All the good stuff will stay inside your body, and all the bad stuff will filter out, the special magic filter paper. No, and what you're trying to do with that visualization is you want to have this image of releasing from your body all the unhealthy stuff. Yeah. Okay. Go up and then you have a filter paper on top lah. No, then all the good stuff stays in and the awful stuff flow out. Yeah. Okay. So Sit on chairs, sit on chairs. There are lots of chairs. Chairs are good. You will get enlightened faster sitting on a chair. Trust me. Yeah. All those aches and pains and numb legs and no. It's not actually good. So go for the chair. Then next time on your own you lie down. Even better still. No. Okay. So welcome to the second session of this series on meditation with visualization, using visualization. So usually what I do is I review what I've covered. So for those of you who have attended last week, this is a reminder. And if you are new, then this helps you to sort of catch up to where we are at. And last week I present a few main ideas related to visualization. Things that I find helpful over the years. Because I'm very qualified to teach this course, you know why? Because I'm very bad at visualization. So what I present to you, if I can do, I'm sure you can do it. First of all, some of you are so fantastic at visualization. You know? It's like, wow, don't even need to say anything. Everything just come up, you know, Buddhas. You know, like Chinese have this saying, 满天神佛, or maybe Cantonese. So all the Buddhas and deities all appear in the sky all around you, without you having to do anything at all. Now, that never happened to me, okay? So I'm well qualified to talk about visualization. Okay. So last week, I started off by talking about, I think, one very important condition we can create for ourselves and we can cultivate in our meditation that facilitate visualization is to help the mind to settle down. Help the mind to settle down, help the mind to declutter. Create some kind of space and some sense of stillness. Not, don't have to be perfect, but just a bit more space, a bit more stillness within our own mind. And that is a good condition for us to activate our natural ability to visualize, to imagine. It's like, if there's space, then there's a chance for wonderful images, or maybe very important symbolic images to appear in your mind. If it's chock-a-block, full of all sorts of stuff, and you worry about your what you're going to have for lunch, and what you're going to do, and all those things, then there is no space for these beautiful images to appear in your mind. So I give you an image of a pool of water, a very still, calm, clear pool of water, you know, in the evening and night. As the water settled and become clear, then the moon will automatically be reflected in the water. It's like the reflection of the moon will just appear when the conditions are right. You know? When the clouds parted, the moon appear, and the water is of a very still and very calm, a very reflective surface. It's like the moon don't have to say, oh, I must reflect, I must reflect, I must appear in the water. No need. Conditions are right. The reflection of the moon just appear spontaneously in the water and appear whole. No, doesn't like one part of the moon appear and then you squeeze a bit, then another part, then another part, another part. And then by the time you reach the end of the one end, then the other part disappear already, you know. Which is usually what happens when we visualize. We visualize, let's say, the Buddha. We got the head. Then we go down the body, and then we reach the lake, and then the head disappears. You know? Then you have to go back and patch up your Buddha image. Yeah. I'm just talking about myself. Okay, so instead, visualization is, when the conditions are right, visualization is very natural, very simple. When the mind is sufficiently calm and still and open, and if you have sufficient familiarity with that object, it can just appear like that. You know, the entire image will just pop, appear in the space of your mind. If it doesn't appear, chances are you haven't taken a good look at the Buddha. You know, you'll say, oh, how does the Buddha look like? I cannot remember, you know. That means not enough familiarity. So there's a second point I want to point out. A lot of time, it didn't appear, certain images didn't appear, it's because we lack familiarity. We have not been paying attention to it. Yeah. Things that we have paid a lot of attention, we are very concerned about, and we are always, you know, paying attention to it, they come to mind very easily. All right. So that's the second thing, familiarity. Okay. Working with things that you are familiar in visualization is so much easier than working with things that you are not familiar or you have never seen before. So there's a funny story. In Tibetan Buddhist tradition, we sometimes go through a ceremony called initiation, whereby the Lama, the teacher, will guide you to do a series of visualization. So I attended quite a few over the years. I still remember one of the first one that I attend, one of the first or second one. So I attend this very complicated ceremony, and the Lama was describing and talking. But the truth is, I have never seen a picture of this particular form of the Buddha. It's called Yamantaka. Never seen him before. I have absolutely no idea how he looks like. So throughout the whole ceremony, I've been always asked, Lama said, oh, now you visualize this deity here, this there. All I know is he's supposed to be blue in color. Okay? So that's the best. So there's this patch of blue, right? Doesn't know how, and even though they describe it, I don't know how to join all the different parts together. Yeah. So in that case, it is almost an impossible task to have a clear image. I might have a clear image, but it could be a wrong image because I have never seen it before. So the familiarity is another thing to keep in mind. All right. And last week, I presented one form of visualization which is very common. Especially in the Tibetan Buddhist tradition, as a practice of purification, right? And so the way I present it is very simple. But I think it's good to just try out this simple form and just understand a little bit what is involved, and then you can apply the same idea and principles to other practices that you maybe know or you have been doing or you may come across later. So I'm just looking at the basic underlying ideas of purification, which is a way of visualizing or using your imagination. And I really think the main purpose of purification is to help us to release things that hold us back, things that are sometimes it's to do with ideas or beliefs or views that are limiting, that become like a burden on us. They weigh on us, or it could be things of the past, memories of things that happened to you that you have done in the past that are still very much alive at the present moment, and they are holding you back or keep you trapped in old suffering, old reactions. So purification is a practice of learning through using our imagination. How can I release this? Release the mind, set your mind free from this kind of limitations, so that you can welcome in something different, something new. Yeah. And visualization use a lot of symbols, symbolic kind of images that are meaningful or that represent. You know. So we tend not to visualize the exact events, or we don't need to go down that road of recalling the exact memories or the exact situations or whatever it is. You represent them with some kind of appropriate images. Yeah, that is also the power of visualization, that you can make use of symbolic connection. You know? So you work with the symbols, and through that they help you to bring about some positive effect. Okay, so the image of visualization that we touched on last week, there are three steps, three different types of visualization. Today we're just going to repeat the first one. So this is called downward cleansing, where you visualize from a source above your crown, in the space will come, from a source that you, a really positive source, which you imbue it with the power to purify, the power to help you cleanse and to be free of all these negativities. And so different people can choose different. No, I usually just, in fact, I usually don't even visualize anything because nothing appears. But you can visualize a sphere of light, and white is the color associated with purification. So a sphere of white light, usually my teacher say the size of your head, like a football like this. Yeah. Okay. That's the size. Of course, you can make it bigger or smaller, it's up to you. And some people like to visualize, or some instructions will actually ask you to visualize a particular form, a form of Buddha. Usually look for a Buddha that is white in color, that is white Tara, yeah, which is associated with long life. So if you visualize white Tara, then you more or less purify obstacles to having a long life. No. But and there are many other forms. Or you can also visualize Kuan Yin or Avalokiteshvara, the big statue behind me. So that is the Buddha of compassion. And he has a white body, and you can visualize nectar coming from the Buddha of compassion, the compassionate nectar to help us to be free of any negativities or anything that are limiting us or holding us back or keep us in suffering. Yeah. So what you choose to visualize, I leave it to you. You imagine light and nectar flow from the body of the sphere of light, enters through your crown, into your whole body. It's like an inner shower. Okay. Then, so the third main point I mentioned last week is we're going to have a very interesting music accompaniment today in our visualization. Okay. Life is always like this. Okay. Not to worry. Is to not only bring to mind familiar object, but also bring into your visualization experiences, your own life experiences, things that you can relate to and you can bring into a visualization. So in this case, I suggest a shower. Taking a shower, you stand under the hot water and there's this cleansing effect, right? You wash away all the dirt and the sweat, and sometimes you also feel that you wash away all the tiredness and the stress, that accompany you. Maybe you take a shower after a long hard day at work, so there's this effect. So now this, you bring that feeling and that those associations into your visualization. So we are doing an inner cleansing, an inner shower. As the light and nectar flows through your body, you feel that just like an outer shower, you are literally cleansing away, you allowing the nectar, the light, to take away all those things that are unwanted or unhelpful. Okay. And if you can bring them together, you bring your actual life experiences and whatever they mean to you, combined with the visualizations you are using, it makes that whole practice of visualization so much more powerful. And those images that you use then become embedded with rich associations. Now, there's a very important word, associations. Whatever image you use, it must be associated with things that are important to you, things that you're familiar with. And as you bring that image to mind, all those associations are activated. So they all come together. You don't want to do a visualization practice as if you are like going through instruction and checklist, like, oh, Buddha on the space, okay, check, done. And then light come down, okay, done. You know what I mean? It doesn't have any deeper kind of meaning to you. It doesn't have deeper significance. It doesn't, because it's not associated with anything, so it doesn't bring about any kind of emotional kind of involvement and so on. So that kind of visualizations are very ineffective. You find that you go through the whole checklist, you've done it, nothing seems to happen. I would be surprised if anything happened, you do it in that way. All right. So what you want to do is, as you do it, it becomes, it draws together your past experiences, your life experiences, and it creates maybe even new meaning, and new experiences for you. Right? And that's also the advantage of visualization. If you can bring it all together, it suddenly becomes very interesting. It's very easy for your attention to get very involved in it, to be very engaged in it. So automatically, by doing such a meaningful visualization, your attention becomes absorbed in it, and therefore you achieve concentration or absorption. Then you naturally find that you are less distracted. You may be so absorbed until you don't even hear the dang, 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 dang sound, right? You're so absorbed until, I finished already. I'm having such a good time. It's like having a really nice daydream. Juicy daydream, but with very positive meaning and association. Okay, so that is the power of visualization, if you can activate it in that way. Right? Makes sense? So far? Familiar, right? Those of you who attended last week. It's not like I'm just saying it the first time, right? Okay, so we'll do a meditation. I'll guide you through this first guided meditation. First part is about settling our body and mind, you know, creating that space, helping body and mind to settle down, to create some stillness. And the second part, I will guide you through just the first visualization, first purification visualization, the downward cleansing. Okay, and as I mentioned previously, and always, you are most welcome to ignore me during this practice. Just ignore what I say, especially if it's not appropriate to your experience or you want to do something different, you're most welcome to do it. Of course, you are responsible for what you choose to do. And also sometimes people, the other thing someone recently mentioned to me is the pacing. Some people like to do it slower than me. Then you can do slower. Some people are very kanjong. No? Come on, I already finished it. What is the next step? If you want to move forward, you're most welcome to move forward. Yeah. So even the pacing, you can set it at your own pace. But of course, you must know what you are doing. So if you move ahead of me, then you can go and use your imagination and see where to go. Okay? So let's start. So as usual, I present meditation in a three-step process. So first step, please try to acquire a seat and a posture most comfortable for your body and mind. So those of us sitting on the floor, then I suggest you sit in whichever posture, cross-legged or either, that allow your body to feel very stable. And likewise for those sitting on a chair, try to have both feet firmly planted on the ground to provide a good sense of support for your body. Allow the back and the spine to be upright in a natural way. By that I mean, it's almost as if you are standing. When you are standing, your spine is upright naturally, following its natural curvatures, and you don't feel that you need to do anything about it. You don't have to tense up your muscles, back muscles, in any particular way. So in the same way, allow your spine to just assume a very natural, comfortable, upright position. Rest your hands. You can rest them on your knees, or you can place them one on top of the other and rest your hands in your lap. So whichever way that allow your shoulders to feel most relaxed and comfortable. Usually I suggest people, they can just close their eyes completely. That's the easiest. Otherwise you can also, up to you, to leave your eyes open slightly to let some light in, or you can even leave them open. In that case, just direct your gaze, maybe downwards at the floor, some distance away from you. So give your body a few moments to find its way into the meditation posture you have adopted. See if you can become aware of sensations beneath you, sensations at the many different points of contact between your body and the cushion, the chair, your body and the ground. Really become aware at those points of contact that your body is resting on something firm, stable, solid, maybe hard, maybe soft, but nonetheless, qualities that we associate with the great earth, with the ground, are here to support your body in this posture, to keep your body well-balanced, well-supported, and safe in this posture. So just allow your body to rest itself in this posture, and gradually in its own time the body may start to loosen up a bit, unwind, let go of some of the unnecessary tension, tightening or contraction of muscles, things that are not necessary or not helpful. So I call this the first step of meditation, acquiring a seat for the body and mind in meditation. And then we're going to spend the next few minutes in the second step, which is to help our body and mind to make transition, to put aside things that are not needed for the meditation, things that may have been preoccupying your body and mind, and just to help them shift gears, transition, and settle down into meditation. So for that, we're going to make use of the breath, our natural breath. So see if you can, within the posture, become aware of sensations of your breath in your body. Maybe you notice sensations of the breath around the nostrils. You can feel the air flow in and out of your body. Maybe you notice the movements of your chest expanding and contracting as you breathe in and out. Or some of us may notice the movements at our abdomen, our belly, a sense of rising and falling. So see if you can just let into your awareness sensations of the breath. Become aware of the in-breath and the out-breath. And here the breath is a support, something that we return our attention to gently again and again. Each time we come back, we return our attention to the breath and especially notice your out-breath. As you feel yourself breathing out, see if you notice that there's always a sense of release that goes along with the out-breath. The muscles of your diaphragm and your chest relax, allowing the carbon dioxide to flow out. So for the next few minutes, see if you can gently, again and again, just invite your attention to come back to the breath. And as you notice an out-breath, see if you can remind yourself, your body and mind, to release. Not only do you release the stale air in your lungs as you breathe out, you can imagine maybe some of the discomfort in your body, a bit of the tension or tightness may also flow away with the breath. And of course, you know, maybe the different thoughts, ideas, images, things that pop into your mind, and you can also let them flow away with the breath. So coming back to the breath sensations, breathing out, a good place to initiate this whole process is actually with our face. We do tend to tense up the muscles in our face. You know, some people will tense up the muscles in the forehead, others may unconsciously clench their jaw, and still others may tighten the muscles around the eyes. So now, as you breathe out, if you notice tension in your face, see if you can just gently try to relax those facial muscles. Breathe out and allow in a feeling of softness into your own face. Tell yourself there's no need to be so tight and tense. Let in a feeling of comfort, of ease and relaxation into your face. So coming back to the breath sensations again and again, do not be frustrated or upset if you find that your attention wander off elsewhere. This is perfectly normal for the mind to do so. You may notice sounds in the surrounding, you may notice that your mind is thinking about this or that. So all these activities, all this coming and going, are all quite normal. All we need to do is, when we become aware of it, we can say, we can invite our attention, come back to the breath. Feel the in-breath and the out-breath. And as you breathe out, allow your body and mind to deepen the sense of release. Coming back to the breath, feel your out-breath, and you can, if you want, in your mind, as you breathe out, say the word release. Remind your body and your mind that they can choose to release. Release unnecessary things, release unhelpful things that might be preoccupying them. And as you deepen the sense of release, you are creating the favorable conditions for us to engage in visualization later. You are helping body and mind to settle down, to release tension, agitation, to create within yourself the condition of space, of stillness, of clarity that is ideal for visualization. And then you can allow this process of unwinding or releasing of body and mind to just continue on and on in the background. As we now move on to the third step, which is deepening meditation. And here we are going to switch to visualization practice, especially that of purification. But you can always feel free to come back to the breath, to breathe out and deepen the release. If there is a need to during the visualization, So if you can, just imagine the space above your crown, there is a source of purification. Feel free to visualize whatever that is most appropriate for you. You could visualize the Buddha in the space above your crown, or like me, you may want to visualize just a simple sphere of light, white in color, radiant. And just think to yourself that this sphere of light or this Buddha figure embodied the power of purification. That it has the power to help you cleanse, to remove, to release anything unhelpful, unwanted, any negativities. And just imagine a stream of light and nectar, white in color, flows from the source of purification above you, flow downwards through your crown, into your body, and begin an inner cleansing. Just as we stand under a shower head, we receive the hot water and allow it to cleanse and carry away the dirt, the sweat, the tiredness. Likewise, the light and nectar that flows through your crown, into your head, into the rest of your body, has the ability to pick up and carry away anything unhelpful, anything that might be burdening you, causing you unhappiness or grief. Imagine that they are flushed away, carried downwards by the light, by the nectar. And you can do it slowly. Imagine the light and nectar through your crown, filling up the whole of your head. The light and nectar touches your face, carry away any tension, any tightness in the face, so that your whole face feels softer, more relaxed, more at ease. Imagine the light and nectar flows through your throat, your neck, and likewise carry away any discomfort, any negativities. So feel free to proceed in this visualization at your own pace and in your own way. And feel free to ignore what I'm saying. Imagine the light and nectar flow downwards, touching both shoulders, flowing into the muscles, the joints, the bones, and the spaces between them. If you notice discomfort or tension at the shoulders, just tell yourself this light, this nectar, has the ability to heal, to wash away all this discomfort. Visualize the light and nectar flows from the shoulder joints down both arms at the same time, flowing into your upper arms, flowing past your elbows. Do so at your own pace. It flows into your forearms, down into your hands, the fingers, all the way to your fingertips. Imagine washing away anything negative, anything unwanted or unpleasant. Coming back to the visualization, imagine more light and nectar pour from the source of purification above you, coming downwards, flowing into your chest, filling up, touching your lungs, your heart, and all the parts in this area. thinks that anything unhelpful, unpleasant, give them a form, like form of dirt or something dark. And just imagine that darkness, the dark liquid, are pushed downwards, are flushed downwards. Allow the light and nectar, white in color, to fill up your abdomen, flowing into all the vital organs in this part of your body, filling up the spaces between the organs and the tissues. Coming back into your visualization, not to forget about your back, especially if you are experiencing back problem. Just imagine light, nectar flows down your back, into the muscles, into your spine. It touches and cleanses your upper back, your middle back, and also your lower back. Become aware that the light and nectar also fill up your pelvis, the pelvic region, flowing into the organs, the muscles and tendons in this area. And further, let the light and nectar flow down both legs at the same time, starting from your hips, down your legs towards the knees, and then moving further down to your ankles, into both feet, including the toes. And imagine all the goodness, all the light and the nectar, all the positive things stays within your body. And anything unhelpful, unneeded, give it a form, something dark, something awful. They start to ooze out of your body and disappear into the ground. And not to worry about what happened to them. Just focus on the idea of releasing them, flushing them out of your body, purging your body of all this dark, negative stuff. Think that they symbolize anything painful or unpleasant, things that weigh you down or hold you back. And be happy to be rid of them. Be happy to visualize them leaving your body, leaving your mind, your system, and disappear completely. And feel free to repeat this process of downward cleansing as many times or as few times as you like, moving slowly or quickly, just going through your whole body and likewise the mind. And really feel that with each round, with each pass of light and nectar, your body and mind are really becoming cleaner and cleaner, purer and purer. In the last part of the meditation, see if you can bring to mind an image that is meaningful to you, that represents your body and mind in a state of complete purity, a state of wholeness, of health, of well-being, that represent for you the complete cleansing of your body and mind, that you are completely free from all those negativities, all those unwanted things. Traditionally, it was advised to imagine the body become like a crystal that is completely clear, transparent, completely free of any impurities. But you can make use of any other image that represents a state of purity, health, for your body and mind. And just imagine that your body and mind has transformed into that image of wholeness, the image of happiness and health, and stay with it for a while. And then we conclude with a dedication. So in your mind, you dedicate, you give a direction to anything positive that you have created through the meditation, the positive momentum that you have created. You direct it towards the fulfillment of your hopes, your aspirations for yourself and also for others, wishing yourself to be able to find happiness and the causes of happiness, and also to be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. Okay, so that's 25 minutes of meditation. So, I mean, sometimes visualization actually, once you get into it, is actually not so difficult to do. You get your mind involved in, it's like storytelling, you know. Like, I'm very good at daydreaming, I can daydream for hours. I just tell myself stories. No, this happened, that happened, no. Then before you know it, wow, it's a big long tale, you know. So it's the same with visualization. Once you figure a way that works for you, it's like really telling yourself a story. You know, of course, don't talk too much in your visualization. Experience more. Allow the images and the feelings to do the talking, the storytelling. Yeah. Okay. Any questions so far about what we have covered? Yes. So you're saying the visualization of the purifying, yeah. So the lower part is okay, but the upper part is not okay. Okay. Sometimes when you encounter this kind of experience, that means there is a somewhere deep within you there is a kind of disconnection. So that's why the image doesn't extend to the top. Yeah. So then a good way to overcome that is to, at other occasion or at the beginning of meditation, try to like do a kind of body scan, you know, that really sweep from the top to the feet. Try to somehow integrate your whole body, including your head, into the body. Because the head has a certain kind of symbolic connotation, because it's usually associated with thinking, with the intellect, with planning, with efficiency, and sometimes we associate that from this down with the more primal kind of like with desires, with emotions, with the heart, with like sense of hunger and things like that. So that's why we sometimes we say the head and the heart are two different things, right? You know, so it may have something to do with that. But actually this is just ideas in our head. What our body is one whole thing, right? You know. So to overcome this kind of sometimes this kind of unusual experiences, then you try to overcome a split in the deep. So you try to integrate that. You try to, by going through, one way is to do a body scan, and that incorporate the sensations of the head into the rest of the torso. You know, it's actually one whole thing, right? So I start from the crown, go all the way to the feet, I go from the feet all the way to the crown, so that you create within yourself an image of a body as a whole, instead of one part means this and the other part means that. Yeah. Then maybe you will find that the distinction will not be so strong. Yeah. Okay, so just to cover some new material today, within visualization practice, quite often there are different types of visualization, you know, and what I'm mainly doing is drawing from visualization used in the Tibetan Buddhism. That's my background, Tibetan Buddhist background. You may find there's a lot more, people do a lot more visualization in other contexts. Yeah, a lot of which you wouldn't find it within the Tibetan Buddhist tradition. One of the popular ones people like to do these days is they like to draw mandala. They draw a big circle and then they fill it up with different things, right? So mandala has the word mandala sometimes can mean circle and sometimes it could mean universe. Okay. No reputable Tibetan Buddhist will ever do it that way. Because within the tradition, a mandala, I don't know whether there is a mandala. Oh yeah, yeah, that's right. This one. Okay. In the tradition, you never create your own mandala. Okay. It's not an act of individual creativity. The mandala is given to you, okay? And you visualize this. You don't add some more things to it and take something around. And so this represents idealized, a symbolic image of a perfect universe. Hmm. Yeah, that is the three-dimensional version of it. Yeah. But in the visualization of the mandala, what you're doing is you have to learn this. This is every part of this is specified, including the thickness of the wall and the decoration, including the jewelries they use to decorate. Everything is specified. Okay, so it takes a lot of effort to learn it. And then you recreate it in your visualization. I'm not going to do it. And what it stands for is you are creating, your mind becomes this purified universe or sacred universe. Okay, so it's a very different way of looking at visualization. Okay, but this is way too complicated. It takes many months of study to understand the structure and the symbolic meaning behind it. And then to figure out how to visualize it, you know, create it. Yeah. So all I'm covering here is more simple ideas. But nonetheless, we want to bring into our visualization a few things, right? And we're going to try out. We want to make use of positive images, images with very positive connotation. Yeah. This is one type of visualization. Positive images can be visual. Quite often, it's visual. But if you are like me, and I cannot visualize on demand, I can visualize when I'm daydream, but when you ask me to visualize on demand, I can't do it, then sometimes it's helpful to piggyback that on some other things that is easier for us to do. One of which I'm going to do later, is I piggyback on tactile sensations. Right? So I have much more aware of tactile sensations. So for example, the breath. So I use the breath, breathe in and out, and then I tell myself as I breathe in, on top of the sensation of the in-breath, I can layer some other visualization, or I can allow some other visualization to appear, right? But because the breath is always there, I don't feel that there's always something for me to focus on, right? So I might say that as I breathe in, I want to let in something golden light, okay? So at first, maybe no golden light appear, so just the breath. But no problem, just don't give up, just keep doing it. And as I settle and become more relaxed, hey, you know what? It starts to look more golden. As you go, so then, no. Or some people use sound, especially if you chant like a mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum. So then the sound and the vibration become a focus for the mind. And as you settle into the sound, as you focus on it, then automatically space appears, and then images can arise. And then your visualization, so quite often in Tibetan Buddhist traditions, visualization is coupled with the recitation or the chanting of mantra. Right? So then you can use the mantra, you're chanting it, and as you chant, as you get into it, you know, other images, you know, can appear and can be incorporated into your practice. Of course, there are always some people that are so super good at visualization. You know, then they will just do it and they will say, oh, only one color? I can manage seven, you know. Should I do all seven for you? Yeah. Then they say, on top of that, every light, there is a Buddha. I can see Buddhas. And I say fine. You know, you can make it as elaborate as possible if you can do it. All right. So, but all those things that you bring to mind, you try to bring to mind positive images. Okay? And then second one, we try to bring in positive thoughts as well. Okay, not just images, but thoughts. And sometimes you can use positive words. As well. Like for example, when I do loving kindness meditation, I use words. I say, "Oh, may you live in safety. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease." Words are easy, right? You just repeat. You know, even if you don't mean it, you just repeat it. You know, and the words can again. The words can bring to mind feelings and images as well. Okay, so then there's also another component. If possible, positive images, positive thoughts. And last one, positive feelings. No, which may not come to you immediately, but no, can feelings of kindness, feeling of compassion, feeling of joy. So that can also come into the whole visualization practice. Okay, so three things. Positive images, positive thoughts or words, and positive feelings. Yeah, don't worry too much about it. No, when you're doing the visualization or the practice, don't worry too much. Have I positive feelings? Or do I have positive image? Don't worry about it. I'm just trying to just tell you the different aspects of it that you bring together. And the fourth thing that's very important that will bring everything together is a sense of trust. Okay, sometimes people use the word faith, but I prefer trust. You must somehow give those images or the words or the feeling a kind of authenticity. You mustn't keep telling yourself, I'm just faking it, that's all. It's all pretend. You know, it's all imagination. Nothing is true. Like that long, I visualize white light, white. At the end, also the same. Okay, this kind of disbelief, right, it undermines the power of the whole visualization practice. Of course, if you don't believe it, you don't have to do it. No, that's easy, right? Save the time. But if you want to do it, you must try to bring in a sense of trust. You know? And of course, at the beginning, it might be difficult, but it does take time to build up the sense of trust. The trust in the efficacy of the practice, that it has some effect, you know, that something good may come out of it, or that if you visualize that some of the images or the words that you use or that come to you know, there's something really positive about it. So that sense of trust, which can start off small, but as you practice more and you have more confidence in it, that trust can grow. Okay, and that is a very important component of visualization. Like for example, just now I asked you to think of an image of wholeness, you know, and allow it to come up, you know, to represent the end result of your purification practice, a sense of being completely cleansed or being so clean, clear, you know, and different people may bring different images to mind. But at least you trust in it. You know, you have some kind of faith or some kind of confidence that, hey, maybe that's possible for me. If you say, yeah, no, I think of a crystal, but no, it's just a crystal. No. So that if it's a kind of disconnection, right? You break the connection, then it's not so effective and not so powerful. And sometimes it represents a deep obstacle, you know, a kind of resistance. And sometimes people feel that they're just unworthy to be well, to be healed. They feel that they deserve to suffer. Right? If you hold on to very tightly to those ideas, then most likely you will continue to be unwell. You'll continue to suffer. You know, and you, even in the minimum way, think of it as hope. Right? It may not be true yet, but at least there is hope. There is a wish for something better in the future. You know, at least that, you know, minimum that. If you cannot trust that now you are in a state, you can access the state of wholeness, at least think of it as a hope, a wish that may that come to me. Right? So this fourth one, trust, is a very important component of visualization practice. Okay? It's like daydream, lah. You know, everything is. I always say, I daydream, I fantasize to live in an alternate reality that will never come true. But yet, I judge by how many hours I spend daydreaming. Some part of me are quite happy to dwell in this fantasy world, right? This alternate reality. At least while I'm in it, I feel quite happy about it, right? I enjoy it, you know. So there must be a certain degree of belief in it, or acceptance of it. No, I really welcome it, even though it's just a temporary relief from the harsh reality of my life. No, but while I'm in it, I'm happy, which is what people do, right? When they watch Korean drama or Chinese drama, you know, they just put themselves into that drama. It's also a bit of make-believe, right? But while you're in it, you cry and cry and cry. Like you are the one that about to die or no, whatever. Right? The fact that you have emotional involvement means you believe in it in some way. Right? You're willing to invest some of that sense of... You invest your emotion, your heart in it, even if it's just for an hour or so. Right? Or maybe if you're like me, with binge-watching. No, you Netflix, you watch not one episode, but 12 episodes. All in one go, right? Wow, it's a big, big hit. Right? But the fact that we do it shows that we understand that while we are going through it, we feel real feelings. You know, even though it's all make-believe, there's something real, and that's what we look for, we long for. The same thing with visualization. Okay, so the positive images, positive thoughts, positive feelings, and a trust that in the fact that they are real and or in the possibility of having them. Okay. So this next visualizations, I try to incorporate some of these ideas we try out. And this time, I want to introduce another major type of visualization within Tibetan Buddhist tradition. So the previous one is purification. Users quite often associate the color white color. This next one is also a very common one. If you sort of participate in some of these practices here, this also occurs quite often, this visualization. Traditionally, it's called receiving blessing. Receiving blessing usually from a Buddha figure, from one spiritual teacher or whatever. Receiving blessing, and usually is involving visualizing light and nectar that are golden in color, golden yellow in color. Receiving blessing, or sometimes I say to be inspired, I use a more blessing doesn't make any sense to me. Yeah. So I think of it as to be inspired, to receive inspiration. That something comes in and then inspire me and say, oh, maybe I can do it. You know, it uplifts the spirit and mind. It makes you hopeful, give you like more positive outlook. Yeah. There is this other component. And usually it's associated with the color yellow or golden yellow. This sense of wealth or richness, gold, right? No, gold bar. Or the. So gold has this connotation or association, you know, of wealth or richness. Or you see a field of harvest, or wheat or whatever, entire golden field, right? So that sense of this abundance, right? Is this? So there's this kind of associations, you know, kind of quite common among our human beings. And so we focus on a golden yellow light and nectar. And also like sunlight. I don't know. Singapore sun doesn't look very golden to me. But then, you know, this, usually when you're young, you draw pictures of the sun, you draw this circle and all these rays, all these different shades of red, orange, and yellow. Yeah, that color, you know, that kind of radiance. So all this visualization has a lot to do with symbolic meaning and connotation and association. And you tap into those associations. And you imagine this golden color of light. And not just light. See, you can also bring in another component is maybe a sense of warmth. Yeah? Warmth or heat. And if you can, even a feeling of bliss or joy. When I was teaching, I taught in Australia for 10 years, and Aussie are very a lot of association with the beach. And they like to go to the beach, all the major cities all around the coast, right? So I know that for a lot of my Aussie friends, they have very pleasant memories of spending time, especially summer, at the beach with the water. It's a very strong culture aspect of it. So I always say that, no, just think of happy times under the sun, at the beach, at the water, and especially when they're young. Those are carefree times. There's a lot of happiness, a lot of joy, you know, associated in those conditions. And Australia, beautiful beaches. Singapore, I'm not so sure about that. Yeah. So those associations can come into your visualization. So you can, I'm going to ask you to breathe it in this time. I'm going to use what I'm most comfortable with. I'm going to breathe in, just breathe in not only oxygen, but you breathe in a sense of brightness, golden yellow, if you can, a radiance. Breathe in a sense of warmth, especially the aircon is a bit cold, right? So you can try to imagine warmth. Breathe in a sense of warmth, heartwarming warmth, okay? Not like the heat outside. Something, and if you can, a sense of joy, if possible. And then I'm going to invite you to let the light, the warmth or the joy, or whatever it is that you visualize, flows in, fill up your lungs, touches your heart, warm your heart. And just imagine that golden kind of radiance or essence will be carried by your blood to every part of your body. So my visualization also tends to be very biological. Right, the blood goes to your brain, so all the brain cells are filled with golden light, with warmth, with joy. You know, all your muscles, part by part. But what I want to do is to transform my whole body into a body of golden light. So sometimes this meditation is called the body of light meditation. Every cell in my body is somehow imbued with light, with warmth, with bliss or joy. Okay, so that becomes an image of me, like a light bulb like that. So we wouldn't have time today, but I have other to deepen the visualization. Maybe you can do it, even if I don't touch on it. Then I imagine it's almost like every cell, inside the cell, I imagine a sun. Pluck the sun, put it in every cell in my body. The sun is a source of warmth, source of light, a source of positive association. And every cell in my body has a radiant sun in it. Yeah. Really like a light bulb, no? Really shine bright. And I just sort of soak in it, no? Allow that. And so then that becomes for me an image to represent something really positive. Okay? Makes sense? We try, we see whether we might feel that, oh, it seems to get brighter and brighter here. Wow, there's a lot of body of light in this. Maybe, yeah. Okay? All right, let's try. And the connotation here is to receive in, let in something really positive that would uplift us, that would activate the positive things within ourselves, a sense of warmth, a sense of love, a sense of joy and happiness. Okay, so let's start. So see if you can settle your body back into your meditation posture. And the most important aspect is to make sure that your back, your spine feels comfortable in an upright position, following its natural curvatures that allow your chest to be open and so that you can breathe freely and easily. Take a few moments just to allow your body to find its way to settle back into this posture. And we start by attending once again to our breath sensations in our body. Become aware of the in-breath and the out-breath. Become aware of the wave-like movement of the breath throughout the body. So in this visualization, you don't have to focus on the breath in one particular spot, but instead see if you can allow your attention to ride on that ever-changing sensations of the breath as you breathe in and out. At the beginning, we focus more on the out-breath. Focus more of, as we breathe out, remind ourselves, our body and mind, with the word release. So that we can help our body and mind to release anything unhelpful, any tension and tightness or discomfort, and the different thoughts or images that pop into the mind that are not really related to the meditation. We can release all of this. We can allow them to flow away with the out-breath. So having acquired a seat for our body and having taken some time focusing on the out-breath, releasing, helping our body and mind to settle back into meditation, we're going to proceed to the third step of deepening meditation. In this case, we're going to focus more on the in-breath, breathing in. We want to let into our awareness, into our body and mind, something that represents very positive. I suggest breathing in a sense of golden yellow radiance of light. And if you can, you may also want to breathe in along with it a feeling of warmth, a sense of joy or bliss, whatever you can manage. So let in this golden light, this golden radiance. Doesn't matter even if it doesn't appear to you, you don't see it clearly. Stick with the thought, the idea, and just let it into your awareness as you breathe in. And you don't have to keep taking deep breath. Just allow the breath to flow naturally. Just tell yourself, as you breathe in naturally, you let in oxygen. Oxygen that goes to every part of your body, every cell in your body. Oxygen that sustains life. They give you energy. So likewise, along with that oxygen, you let in something golden yellow in color, a sense of radiance, of warmth, or joy. Let it flow into your lungs, filling up your lungs, breath by breath. Coming back to the breath, breathing in, letting in the golden light. Imagine, if you can, that your lungs are filled with the golden radiance. And just as oxygen, this light, this warmth or joy, pass into your blood, return to your heart, warming up your heart, filling your heart with the golden light and radiance. So much so that your entire chest is somehow filled with light, with warmth, with joy, or whatever it is that you can visualize. And then just as oxygen follow the blood, likewise the golden light follow your blood. Go all the way up, starting from your head, with your brain. With each in-breath, let in more of that radiance, that positive stuff. And imagine it filling up your brain, transforming all the brain cells, filling them with light, with warmth, with joy. And feel free to proceed at your own pace, transforming the rest of the body part by part. Allow them to be filled and touched by the light, by the warmth and joy. So coming back to the breath, to the visualization, imagine the entire brain is transformed by the light. And allow the light to touch your face, bringing to your face, your facial muscles, the radiance, the warmth, the joy, helping you to relax the muscles of your face, let in a feeling of softness into your face. Coming back to the breath, without the need to control the breath, just allow the breath to flow naturally. It can be very shallow, or can be very deep. It can be fast or slow. It doesn't really matter. Just come back to the breath, let in more of that light. Imagine it flowing, filling up the rest of your head, or the parts, or the cells, or the spaces between the cells. And moving at your own pace, you might want to imagine the light touches your neck, your throat, flow into this part of your body, bringing something really positive, healing, uplifting to this part of your body. Coming back to the breath, letting in more of the light with its positive association for you. Allow it to touch both shoulders, flowing into the muscles, the bones, the joints. Doesn't matter if you reach a part of your body that feels tense or tight or uncomfortable. Just let those feelings be for the time being. Instead, focus on what's positive, what's uplifting. Focus on the light, a feeling of warmth, a feeling of bliss, or pleasantness if you can manage it. Back to the breath, let in more light, imagine it flows from the shoulders down both arms at the same time. And as it passes through all these different parts of your arms, imagine it illuminating, filling your upper arms, your elbows, your forearms, all the way into the hands, the palms, the fingers. Back to the breath once again. Breathe in, just allow that positive energy or images, the light or whatever, to flow to the other parts of the body. Just as you fill up the chest, maybe you want to imagine it flowing into your back, especially if you have issues with the back. Really allow this light or warmth or joy to touch the muscles of your upper back. Think of it as something really nourishing, nurturing from the upper back, moving down to the middle of the back. And then when you feel ready, all the way down to your lower back. Even if images do not appear clearly to your mind's eye as you proceed with the visualization, that is fine. Don't be too upset about it. Don't try too hard. Just be relaxed and just allow whatever image or feelings or sensation to just come up. Work with whatever that appears and do not worry about what doesn't appear. Let the light and nectar flows further down, all the way into your abdomen. Imagine the light or the warmth or joy filling up all the organs in this part of the body, muscles, even fill up the spaces between them. coming back to the breath, especially your in-breath, just as you take in oxygen, also allow in positive images and feelings, light or warmth or happiness, joy. Imagine it flow downwards from your abdomen into your pelvis, the pelvic region, once again flowing into all the different organs and tissues in this part of your body. And from the pelvis, the light and so on flow down both legs at the same time. From the hips, down to the knees. And you can do all this at your own pace. Down to the ankles, into the feet, into the toes. Returning your attention to your natural breath as you breathe in, just as we breathe in oxygen, which is carried by the blood to every single cell in our body. So that every cell in the body is nourished by the oxygen, is kept alive, is provided with energy. Likewise, imagine that the radiant, golden light and warmth or joy flows into every single cell in your body. And not just the cells, even the spaces between them are completely illuminated by the light. And breathing in and out reinforce this image of you sitting here, breathing in and out into a body completely filled with golden light, permeated by positive feelings, warmth, or joy, or whatever it is that you're able to visualize. And rest in this state, in this image of complete wholeness, of complete positivity. You may want to, if you like, just think a little bit. This image of a body filled with light, the body of light, an image that's supposed to represent a state of wholeness or well-being. What would you like it to represent? What meaning does it hold for you? What is it that you wish for yourself or hope for yourself? Maybe you wish for it to be a state of complete health, especially if you have been struggling with illness for a while. Maybe that's what it represents or most meaningful for you. Maybe it's a state of peace if life has been particularly not peaceful lately. Maybe a state of happiness, a state of overcoming depressed feelings, a state of safety if things you have been feeling a lot of anxiety or insecurity. So as you dwell and stay with this image of a body of light, maybe you can reflect a little bit on what you wish it to be, what you hope for it to be. And then we conclude once again with simple dedication. Just in your mind, dedicate all the positive momentum you have created through this meditation. Dedicate it towards the fulfillment of whatever your wishes or your aspirations for yourself or for others. Okay, so just to repeat, what we covered today is mainly emphasizing in your visualization, you try to bring into it positive images, positive thoughts, or positive feelings. And most importantly, whatever you bring in, you try to cultivate a sense of a trust, or even you can use the word belief in it, even if it's just a little bit. But trust does take time to enhance, to increase, but as you engage in the practice, as you maybe if you can see for yourself what are the benefits involved, then naturally that helps to increase your sense of confidence, your sense of trust, and that's make it easier the next time round. Okay, so any last questions? You notice it's much brighter. Inspiration. I used the word. And it's not that I don't think of it as blessing, but the word blessing doesn't have any meaning in my mind. Yeah. No. So then, no. Yeah. Yeah. Any questions? Okay. If not, then that's it for another session. 1.5 hour passed quite quickly, right? No. See? Easy. All right. So have a good weekend. I'll see you next week. Right. Thank you.